What's going on out there, Luke Kennard fans?
Oh, what a day!
It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am as positive as ever, Chuck Lachlan.
And we are Locked on Kennard today. Just your daily coverage, Luke Kennard podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We got to recap maybe the best win of the entire season.
It absolutely was.
It sure felt that way. We're talking about the great comeback win of the Clips over the Hawks, in case you somehow missed it.
Oof.
Great one to tune into.
Oof, man. Watch the replay if you can.
If you can, yeah, definitely. And then, it's my favorite day of the week. It's Twitter Tuesday. Thank you so much to everyone who sent their questions in ahead of time. We love to hear
it
from you. If you'd ever like a chance to get your question featured on the show, go ahead and send that over to @LockedOnClips. A bunch of good stuff in there. Can't wait to dive into that. And then, in shavings, fee has officially been moved. So the Clippers are open up for business now.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of free agency, they're open for business.
Yes.
So all that and more coming up right about now.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
First, we got to give a shout out to Clipper Irv on Twitter. He was listening at 7:01 this morning.
Irv.
That's as early as you can get it. Shout out Clipper Irv. But we got to get into the most important thing. The Clippers won in Atlanta, 119 to 110. No Patrick Beverley or Serge. We're going to talk about that later. This is the best win of the season.
It sure feels like it.
The Clippers were down 22 after just a horrible first half of basketball. Ty Lue emptied the bench to send a message, and it was received.
It was a terrible quarter of basketball.
Yeah, that's fair.
Clippers had a lead in this first half. I mean, but what we liked, it's just Kennard in the bench.
I can't believe how good he looked.
There was six and a half minutes remaining in the third. The Clippers were trailing 59-80.
It was bleak.
Things were very, very bleak. Kennard checks in. Things turn around.
Borderline immediately.
Basically, I mean, I believe his first basket of the night was like a reverse layup. He was involved in essentially every single offensive possession. He either had an assist or, you know, a field goal. And by the end of that third quarter, ended on a 90-82. So
Eurostep half court buzzer beating three.
One of the that's one of the wildest buzzer beaters.
That's when you kind of, because he hadn't missed up until that point. It was just like, oh, he's really not going to miss. He had 20 points, seven rebounds, four assists, perfect from the floor. There's no way he's only getting garbage time after this. There's not, what else does he have to do? At this point, what else does the man have to do? It was just, I mean, this, and you love, it was paired with fantastic Terrence Mann play. 21-10.
Yeah.
4 of 5 from the line, which is great. I mean, his shots in the restricted area, he took a third of our total shots in the restricted area. He went 7 and 9.
Yeah.
Like,
the team went 17 of 25 overall.
This was so great to see from the bench.
Oh, it was incredible. Also, I mean, you know, Shout out to Coffee, who was solid,
yes.
Filled in some minutes.
Whole bench had to help out with that.
Yeah, I mean, Patterson was doing his best out there.
Patterson was there.
He had a three, he had an assist, he had a dunk.
He did.
But no, I think that this tandem of Kennard and Mann, like, we've seen kind of glimpses of it, and it has looked really good, to be perfectly honest, every time.
This was fun as hell. They complement each other so well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, I'm ripped off Luke Kennard and Terrence Mann right now. Kawhi Leonard also showed up, which was great. Not a lot of the starters did, but Kawhi ended with 25, 7, and 5. He was 3 of 4 from deep with two huge threes late.
Yeah.
Those were
to
very
take
much
the lead
needed.
And basically to lock it up.
Yes, he added a steal and a block just to help kind of demoralize everything.
That block that he had on Collins was a beaut.
Especially after Collins had kind of killed us.
Yeah.
Which was rough to see. Zubats did his thing. 12 points, 9 boards, 2 blocks, 4 offensive rebounds. Ty Lue's adjustments were fantastic in this one. He tried to make it as hard as possible on Trae Young. Gave him a bunch of different roles. We blitzed. We saw some zone. Still went off, but it's Trae Young.
It was working pretty well early. And
then, like, yeah, I mean,
we just missed some shots and we had some really terrible turnovers. I mean, if you're wondering, like, how this whole thing started in the first place, like, we just, you know, we couldn't make shots. Paul George had a probably his worst game all season.
He literally did.
You know, and we just had, he had four turnovers, but we just had like back to back to back turnovers. Lou Will only ended up playing what, like 6 to 8 minutes in this one. It looked really, really rough. But really? That was the thing. I didn't even think that the defense was I didn't think that the defense was necessarily the reason we were trailing that bad. It was just like it was a conflagration.
Yeah, it was. We're talking about the turnovers. We had 8 in the whole game. And like you said, we had 8 in the first half. So that kind of tells you the tale of this game a little bit.
Yeah.
In terms of ball security and guys being locked in. Luke Kennard talked about it in the post game about how the guys stuck to their plays and like ran plays and stuff like that. And they just trusted the system for the most part.
Yeah.
And you know what's great? There's a system to trust. We didn't see, I mean, part of me, I want to call this game the benching from here on out, because part of me really believes that this could be a turning point for the Clips season. Ty Lue emptied the bench so early. I thought it was a white flag.
Yeah.
And then it turned into the complete opposite and he let the bench go. Yeah. The bench was killing it. And he was like, we're just going to keep this going now.
I mean, completely emptying the bench with the better part of the third quarter left. I mean, the other thing though, too, is like, he has a lot of faith in those guys. You know what
yes,
I mean?
For sure.
It would have been, I think it would have been all too easy to pound your head against the wall. And, you know, maybe Paul George can kind of start getting it going and Kawhi kind of gets it going. But it's more of like a slog, you know, whereas this was something completely new.
A little bit of zip, a little bit of pep.
But fresh guys, fresh legs, like ready to get out there and like just start feeling it. And when you don't have a crowd, I mean, like, you got to create all that on your own. And
those
guys just absolutely did it.
Imagine Staples Center tonight.
Oh, it would have been nuts. Oh. But I mean, like, every coach was out of their seat. Every single player on the bench. And just, I don't know, it was just great. It's just infectious. It's something that we've needed, and we haven't really gotten it.
It was 18-19 vibes tonight.
It was. Yeah, we haven't really gotten it since the All-Star break.
Yeah. I mean, that's the first win. It's the first time we've won 2 games since Valentine's Day in a row. I mean, we already talked about what we didn't like. Rough shoot night from Paul George, 3 of 12. Shot 33% from 3 in the first half, only made 5. Marcus Morris showed up.
Yeah.
He had
19 points. He was solid.
Yeah, he had 3 of our 5 threes at half.
Yeah.
As a team, which is incredible. I mean, we've kind of been talking about it, but I feel rejuvenated from this game.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. This game, I'm not sure this game means that the Clippers are title favorites or whatever, but there's...
Hey, if we're overreacting, I feel like, and this is for everyone out there, like, if we're overreacting to some of these games, let's be sure to do it both ways.
Absolutely. This is a game that shows you... Clippers fans wanted to see exactly what the team showed them tonight.
Yeah.
And I don't know how else to put it. Ty Lue did everything he was supposed to.
Yeah.
He said he
it worked.
He didn't want to tell the media what his message was to the team at halftime.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what that locker room was like.
Yeah.
Ty Lue's not pulling punches.
Definitely.
He showed it tonight by benching everybody's ass. I'm hyped up.
Yeah.
I wish the Clippers played tomorrow, but alas, they do not.
No, but ready for the road trip. This is the kind of win that you need to before you go on a little short road.
Weird back-to-back against the Spurs, too. God, I'm feeling so damn good. What a win for the Clippers tonight. Just hope everyone kept it on. I hope you didn't turn it off at half.
Yeah. I mean, it was very tempting, too.
It was tempting.
I wouldn't blame you, but this one was worth the wait.
But you missed out. Hope Big Ben on Twitter didn't turn it off. Coming up, we're going to be answering your fantastic questions on Twitter Tuesday. But first, we got to give a shout out to the Locker Room app. Locker Room is the live audio-only sports talk platform that is free to use and download on your iOS systems. You can talk to us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. Perk for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Locker Room is the free audio-only social media platform for sports fans. You can start or join ongoing conversations, watch games together, react to the biggest news, rumors, and games, talk with other sports fans, insiders, athletes, and even executives sometimes. Join in on conversations with the whole Locked On Network and have a chance to be featured on podcasts. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join that group. Follow at Locked On NBA to be notified when the rooms go live. Come with your spiciest takes. And after you've been on Locker Room and need some car parts, where should they go?
You gotta check out Rock Auto. Look, with the ever-increasing number of makes and models, there's just too many cars these days. and it's impossible to stock all the parts that you would need in a traditional chain storefront, so why would you want to endure the often pointless or seemingly intimidating line of questioning? I don't know anything about cars. You can't ask me any questions about them.
I just drive the damn things.
And why would you want to wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket.
Whoa.
Thing I love about rockauto.com is they're a family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or for your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
Ooh.
The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
All right, welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Again, thank you to everyone who sent these questions in.
Appreciate it.
Got a whole lot of them. Got some long ones for this episode. I'm excited about.
Long form.
Danny underscore EMT asks, with the trade deadline looming, if Pat Bev continues to struggle with injuries throughout the season, are we willing to deal with that long term? I ask because this looks to be a problem season for season. Then in parentheses, he put, I don't want to trade him though.
The thing is it's you can't just make a one-for-one trade. You know, no team is going to be like, hey, we have a similar impact player as Patrick Beverley.
Yeah.
He's healthy more. How would you like
and
to
he'll
swap
make
that
you guy? He'll make you better.
How would you like to swap that guy out?
Yeah, exactly.
So
Bev has no real trade value. I don't mean that in a mean way. It's just he fits with the Clippers. He doesn't fit with another contender who would want to move somebody or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. That's the issue. It's what you're getting back. And sure, I mean, to a certain extent, availability is the best ability, but also not really. Pat Beverley, when healthy with this Clippers squad, I mean, you know, like it's just completely different. It looks different.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know where you find that exact player. Now, you can go in a different direction, for sure, with someone that could be more available. And maybe they're more of a, you know, a traditional point guard or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't... I hate to say it. I don't really have the answer. I think part of me thinks maybe for one more season... You roll the dice, and you know that if you can get a healthy Patrick Beverley, you got a damn good team.
Yeah. I just don't think that exists anymore.
I don't know.
A healthy Pat Bev. Like,
yeah.
It's just season out. He's an older player now. Like, we've talked about a little bit. This Clippers team is an older team.
Yeah.
Like, him and Lou are on the downslope.
I know, but trading him, like, taking a bath for him on a trade.
It's horrible.
I don't see it as being that much of an upgrade.
Yeah, it's just not. At X Shawners asks/states, I know the Clippers statistically have a historically good offense this season, but I don't think the actual offense is that good. It seems great when the shots are falling like in the Hornets game, but when they aren't, we are constantly forced into iso ball or forced bad threes. This is one of the reasons I feel like we lost to Denver this season. Do you guys feel the same way? Couple of points on this question. Clippers only shot 35% from three in that Hornets game. So it's not like we were lighting it up from three.
Yeah.
We are literally the best jump shooting team of all time.
Yeah.
Based on percentages right now. But he does bring up good points with the iso ball and the bad threes, which I think is more of the process getting figured out. And I think tonight's game, which is very much fresh in my mind, shows what, you know, like, I think that was a nice like wake up for people who were like, oh, the offense forces itself into bad threes. Tonight, you see the ball moving around. You saw it a little more creative in clutch time, as it's known.
Yeah.
Like, I think those issues are getting worked on.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that there's times where it's forced into iso ball or there's less than ideal shots. I just feel like we're kind of magnifying this microcosm of the entire offense.
You don't
like,
want to be in clutch time either.
Yeah, yeah. Like overall, the offense, I mean, really has been pretty solid. There's still some bad habits that need to be worked out for sure. But it's pretty far along just considering you know, new system, new guys, constant ins and outs of the rotation.
Yeah.
So what I like especially about the offense lately is I just feel like we're doing a better job of playing downhill and getting to the paint.
They're making an effort to get into the paint and spread it around from there.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always been kind of like a drive and spray type of offense. This, I mean, even dating back to last season, I guess. But just the ability of guys to actually get to the rim is a lot, is already more convincing to me this, you know, like the second half of the season.
Because it's more than two guys, right? It's not just Trez and Lou now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely that. And just like there's some new little wrinkles about this offense that I like too. Like, I don't know, Terrence Mann out there with the starters is kind of interesting.
Dude, Terrence and Kennard, I know we talked about it. They're going to be fun to watch for the Clippers for
hopefully,
a minute.
Hopefully, a minute.
Dude, we can't trade Terrence.
Hopefully a minute.
We can't trade Terrence.
I'm with you.
I'm now just on the like this man.
I'm with you. I don't know what, you know. I wouldn't buy a house if I played for the Clippers. Is all I'm saying.
That hurts. You're totally right.
If I was a young player, I would not buy a house for the Clippers.
Duboylove 3 asks, Zoo is looking more and more aggressive on offense, and I'm getting the feeling that one of these days Zoo will get that poster dunk we've all been waiting for. If you had to choose, who would you want to see him dunk on?
Oh, easy. Mo Wagner.
Oh, wow. I was going to say Bertans again. Because he's just yammed on him before.
We're both going Wizards. Or, honestly, so like one of
Trez or LeBron, I think, would be pretty tight.
My other one would be Ayton, just because like my first...
He's tried.
My first credentialed game, Ayton dunked on Zoo.
Yeah.
Definitely went up to contest it, but... yeah, so I'd like to see the revenge of that.
Or, I mean, Mike Muscala, just because it'd be the most, like, poetic, weird ass.
That's a great call. Weird. That's thing. A great call.
That'd be a fun time. Zoo looked good.
Has he dunked on Gortat?
I don't think so. I don't think Gortat's in the league anymore.
I know, but who knows? Could have happened.
Maybe we get Gortat on the buyout. Zoo dunks him in practice a whole bunch. @good_mold. This is a pretty timely question from earlier today. Is it just me, or does it feel like the Clippers can't make any comebacks? If they're down 10 by the fourth or even at half, I've kind of accepted their fate. Well, hope you watch tonight's game, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, I got to agree with part of this, though. It feels different. Like, we were talking about...
Took a whole bench empty. It took Ty Lue cursing out the team and emptying the bench to be like, listen, you...
Well, it's kind of like... I mean, you and I were talking about... I think sometimes for fans it gets difficult because, like, in that 18-19 season, we would be down 20 at half and be like, we're still right in this.
We got
thing,
this,
baby. But this year, it does feel like at times, like, we're totally in control and we're steamrolling teams or we're struggling.
Yeah.
So I do understand the sentiment. But I think that we're capable of making comebacks. I do think that. Yeah, sometimes you just need a breath of fresh air or a little shake up.
100%.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. We're in that stretch of the season right now, too, that I just feel like is really difficult to, must be really difficult to care.
Yeah. And we got a real tough stretch coming up with this back to back and then April 1st starting. I also like, too, Kawhi Leonard in the post game tonight says that, like, the Clips still aren't where they need to be.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Which I agree with.
Yeah, definitely.
This is a game that hopefully they build on. You know, like, this game is great, but let's see how they come out against San Antonio. Like, well, I hate to be that guy, but this has to be strung together.
So this is what's difficult for me from this one. This is a great win. I love this game. There's not a whole lot for the starters to take away from this one to build on.
No. They can watch film of Luke Kennard.
Like, yeah, but I don't see how that really helps them long term.
They watch film of Luke Kennard and Ty Lue dunking on that guy. That's what all practice is going to be. @DannyH asks, while Kawhi is still great defensively, I feel like he's lost a step on that end. But he elevated his defense in the playoffs last year. Do you feel that his inconsistency on that end this year is due to decline, or is he ramping up for an epic postseason defensively?
I think that we've already seen Kawhi taking harder defensive matchups.
Yeah.
Later in the season here. So I do think there was, I hate the term like in-game resting, but there was like, he would just basically guard his position Yeah. He, you know, like, and he would sometimes, you know, he would sometimes leave harder assignments to other guys on the floor.
Yeah.
We've seen it.
For sure.
We've even seen young guys sometimes subbed in to soak up a couple of defensive possessions. But I think that that is just, I think that's part of honestly what you have to do. And he's not the only player that does this. I know that because of like the old timey load management stuff or whatever, like he's the one who gets the finger pointed at for this kind of thing. But like, yeah. This is what every superstar in this league does, or they just suck at defense and we don't talk about it.
And he's only missed games really because of getting hit in the face.
Yeah. Well, he had to sit out. Was in game. He was back the next game.
Yeah. Like, so that, I don't know. And his numbers aren't that crazy. Like, 2021 Leonard is still in the 90th percentile for defending versatile bigs, stationary shooters. Like, he's defending a bunch of different positions.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. He spends most of his time on power forwards, which makes sense. He's also guarding point guards at a higher rate than he did in 2015-2016.
That's
which
nuts.
Is kind of crazy to think about. So he is being asked to do a lot more, but he's kind of answering the bell.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in the playoffs, I mean, I'm so hyped from this game. I feel like it's clouding how I'm feeling about it's so recent, well, but like, and Kawhi, oh, a thing we didn't talk about, Kawhi dunked again early in this Hawks game, which I think is a sign that
it was like one of the first four field goals.
Yeah, like the rest of the league should be terrified if Kawhi is now feeling good enough to
if he's dunking every single game.
Yeah, like that's a good time.
Yeah.
Man, thank you to everyone for the questions. We appreciate them sending them to @LockedOnClips. Coming up, we're going to be talking some of the details of the fee trade, which I guess is kind of a trade. There's some trade rumors, and then Kawhi got a new house. But first, got to give a shout out to BetOnline.
Got it.
The fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And what should I eat while I'm doing these betting marathons?
You gotta power up if you're going to be betting on a whole marathon.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Can't bet on an empty stomach.
We've been telling you about Built Bar. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market. We've been talking about it for a while. And if you didn't know, it's the amazing low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great-tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all the bars.
Oh, yeah.
And now, the ultimate test. Which Built Bar is best? It's Built Bar Madness. So Caramel Brownie is in the enticing eight, and it's going to face either cookies and cream or coconut almond. What do you got?
I think coconut almond. I like that flavor.
I'm with you on that. Coconut almond. I think it's an underrated one. I think it could take the whole thing.
It's an upset.
It could take the whole thing.
This is definitely an upset, but I think coconut almond has it for sure.
So go to builtbar.com or @bar_built on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar.
All right. Welcome to Shavings, where we just kind of wrap up everything else that happened in the Clippers sphere. Fee got traded to the Kings for cash. I think kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw the writing on the wall. When that third option wasn't picked up, it frees up some roster space. And also, this is the best wrinkle of this trade. Now the Clippers don't have to wait until March 30th to pick anyone up off the buyout market.
Yes.
So we just pick some people up.
Yeah.
Which is good. Hope Fee can find his footing in Sacramento.
Oh, man. I hope so, too.
I don't know what's going to happen, but I hope he does. There's some more trade rumors. In his latest piece for The Athletic, Sam Amick says that the Clippers are among the teams that have shown interest in Bogdan Bogdanovic.
I don't know about this.
It doesn't make sense from kind of like either side. What the hell are we giving the Hawks?
I mean,
that makes them better for a guy who's young, who's locked up for three more years after this year.
They saw that win streak staff tonight and they were like, get this guy out of
Atlanta.
Get
this man off the team.
Get us Luke Kennard.
But it's weird though, right? How would this, I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. This doesn't really make sense to me, mainly because the Hawks paid so much to get Bogdanović this very free recently. Agency.
Yeah.
So I don't know. There's a bunch of years left on his deal. They're also just doing really well right now. I kind of
yeah.
I know that he's been in trade rumors and Collins has been in trade rumors. I got to be pretty honest. Unless they really think they can get a piece that's going to put them over the edge, I don't know why you don't just stand pat. They made so many moves in free agency this year, and like their goal was just to make the playoffs. I think you're already going to do it, my dudes.
Yeah, and like I was thinking, and I was like, I guess this would be like a Marcus Morris for Bogdan Bogdanović trade.
I mean, the salaries are similar. We would still have to make up additional salary because yeah. I think Bogdan makes more.
And like, why would the Hawks? It just seems weird. I don't think it happens. I don't want it to happen.
No.
Kawhi purchased a palatial Palisades estate over the weekend.
Sick of driving from San Diego.
Modest 12,000. Well, he also has an apartment directly across the street from Staples. a modest 12,000 square feet, 960 bottle wine cellar, 10-person movie theater.
Oh, man. Hope I get an invite at some point too.
960 bottles of wine. That's pretty good.
Come on, not 1,000?
Yeah, man.
You couldn't make room for 40 more bottles?
Do you think Kawhi's a wine guy?
I
don't know. I don't mean that in a weird way. I generally don't know.
I could see him being into it just because he played with a lot of vets in San Antonio. So it seems like wine.
Tony
is like
Parker
a very,
loved wine.
It's like a
yeah.
very popular thing. Popovich loves wine.
Doc.
Yeah, Doc loved wine. So I think it would make sense.
Yeah.
It seems like JJ Redick talks about like a ton of dudes. Like they'll like bring like a super rare bottle and like everybody will kind of have a glass or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, it seems fun.
It seems, hey, I'm not knocking it. hope he can fill that wine cell up. 10-person movie theater. Do you think it's just Kawhi by himself in there?
What movies does Kawhi watch?
Remember, we need to talk about one of the forgotten weird parts of this season.
Yeah.
I think it was the preseason. Maybe it was last season. When Chauncey Billups.
That was last season.
Talking about how he'd seen 7 movies in his whole life.
7 movies, yeah.
7 films?
Yeah. That was the most shocking thing to happen in the bubble. Nothing else happened,
nothing
Clippers
else happened
fans. That was the only thing.
It was like 7 movies. Brian Seam was even like, what?
I think I may have watched 7 movies in a day at some point.
I mean,
in my life.
Full disclosure, I watched 4 movies this weekend. yeah, I don't know. I hope Chauncey gets some time to watch some movies. We got to end on a bit of a somber note. We are recording this on March 22nd, the day that Elgin Baylor passed. He was the first kind of undersized center in the NBA, the first superstar for the Minneapolis Lakers. Took Seattle University to an NCAA championship game, 1956. Drafted number 1 overall by the Lakers. While he was on active duty with the Army in 1961 to 1962, averaged a cool 38-19 on the weekends for the Lakers.
That's insane.
And you know what? He probably went back to base and there were some dickheads who were like, hey, you can do it out there. Can you do it in here? And he probably just destroyed those people. he was VP of Clippers basketball operations for 22 years, was selected as the NBA Executive of the Year in 2006. The year the Clippers won their first playoff series since 1976. Ron Harper had a request for the Clippers that the Los Angeles Clippers better retire his jersey as an executive. That should be the first one they retire.
Wow.
Shout out to Elgin Baylor.
Yeah.
Huge loss.
Wild. What a life, though.
One of the really things that sucks about just there's not a lot of footage of him playing.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
Yeah.
He was one of the first like high flyers. Like it's incredible what he did for the game.
Yeah, there's that whole era of players that, you know, I hope will be remembered or kept alive in some way. Which, you know, if we don't have an NBA top shot of it, how are we gonna remember?
Okay. Elgin Baylor probably definitely against the NBA top shot. That about wraps it up. Wednesday's episode preview of the first game against the Spurs, which hopefully goes well. What you say Wednesday, poll over on Locked On Clips, so look out for that on Twitter around 10:30 in the morning, maybe. Around then. And then, of course, whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, you can find us on the usual suspects, right? Spotify.
Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, podcast app.
Deezer,
yeah.
Leave us a review where you can. We'd appreciate it. Tag it on the side of the street, you know. That might do more good than podcast, Apple Podcast reviews. Never mind.
Don't tell people to vandalize stuff
I
on
did
the show.
It. Yeah, thank y'all so much for hanging out.
The vandal.
Let's hope the Clippers can build on this momentum. This was a great win. Still a long way to go.
Definitely.
But this was an encouraging night. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.